Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. We're glad to have you with us. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Dalton Stanford behind the board here on this Monday evening. Happy to be talking all things William Carey Athletics. So we recap a pretty successful week for William Carey. Yeah, some big wins in soccer, a couple sweeps in volleyball, all kinds of good stuff to talk about. So much winning. You love winning, right?
I love winning.
I love winning, too.
And it was, I know you saw some really good winning, and I saw some really good winning as well. To have a conference team that comes in and gets swept on a Saturday morning, let's just say they were not happy.
That's a strong start for a weekend.
It was very strong.
And for a doubleheader, too, to get two sweeps for William Carey. That's pretty nice. One a conference opponent than the other.
Four in a row.
Yeah. That's awesome. We can talk more about that in just a minute. But happy to be joined in studio today by a friend of the pod, featured guest. He has his own chair, as a matter of fact, with his name on it. We just have to find it. It's somewhere around here. Ben Smith joins us here for tonight's episode of Crusader Talk. Ben, how are you?
Good. Good to be here with you guys this evening.
All right, Ben, a lot to get to today. So much has already gone on since the last time we've brought you on. Got conference news. We've got stuff going on with just different events going on with William Carey University as well as the athletics programs. And so I just wanted to kind of open it up like this. Is the ground still cold whenever you step on it, or does it stay warm with the constant path you trod going back and forth between the athletic events?
There is a there's no grass there, I can tell you that.
Is that that's like a mixed reason? That's because right. Of no rain, and then also just how busy y'all are.
Right, it's a busy time of the year. We got a lot of stuff going on right now with all of our fall sports in full swing, and you know, if you blink your eyes, it'll be basketball season, and
yeah.
Swim's about to get kicked off here pretty soon too. Cheerleading's got competitions going on, so a lot of teams going a lot of different places.
Yeah, we're less than a month away from basketball beginning, if you could believe that.
Yeah, right. 4 weeks on October 28th.
Yeah.
So tomorrow's 4 weeks.
Exactly. All right. Some things are a little bit more pressing or a little more recent than a basketball season that's to come, but I wanted to open this up to you just to kind of give everybody the news update on the Crusader Club. And that's something we've been talking about, trying to get back rolling. Now it is active, and we got to know what is to come with Crusader Club this year. Are there giving levels? Are there certain amenities that you can get awarded?
Sure.
What's the money going to? Give me the whole rundown.
Okay, so to answer your first question, there are giving levels. I think it starts out at $50, and the highest giving level is like a $5,000 plus level. And it's too much to go through right here on the show, but there's a lot of different things that you receive every time you bump up a level. And, you know, all of that money goes into our athletic programs. And if you go on there and you become a Crusader Club member, you can designate it to a particular sport if you'd like, or you can just designate it to the overall athletic department. But one of the things that we wanted to do with it was, number one, it's a fundraiser.
Okay? Sure.
First and foremost, it's a fundraiser. But secondly, it gives us the opportunity to give back to people that do give money. Mm-hmm. Instead of just going around and saying, hey, can you give us $100? Can you give us $100? I'm going to give you $40 back in gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in polo shirts or hats or jackets or whatever. And we wanted to do that. It just helps market our brand. I want as many people in the Hattiesburg area wearing something with the Crusader logo on it as humanly possible.
And speaking of branding and stuff, it's been a big push this year as students have come back onto campus. You unleash the new Armor Up mantra, motto, whatever you want to call it. And, man, those T-shirts, I've seen them everywhere.
Right.
And selling them at soccer matches, and you know, some get them as a gift whenever they participate in the little halftime festivities. That's been a fun event as well, the little crossbar challenge.
Right.
But overall, what has been the feedback about the Armor Up campaign?
I think it's catching on. Everybody thinks it's neat. I mean, it gives the department an identity. I mean, you know, if you watch college football, you've got Hell State, you got Hottie Totty at Ole Miss, you got Roll Tide at Alabama. Well, you got Armor Up at William Carey. And it fits along with our school and our mission as well. You know, when you dig into Ephesians and look at, and I'm not going to cite the whole verse on here because I'll butcher it, but
it comes from Ephesians 6. You know.
Right. It fits what we're about at William Carey, and it's kind of, you know, I think it'll become our rally cry, if you will.
Well, and I think that it also is university-wide, not just athletics.
Right.
But it, like you said, the mission, there was a young lady in the cafeteria today, and I just glanced and I saw the Armor Up t-shirt and I said, I don't know if she's ever been to a sporting event, but she resonates with the Armor Up, right? She's right. Wearing that Armor Up shirt, and yeah, she wore it well. It was good. I mean, it fit her, but I don't know if she was athletics person. She could have been music. She could have been psychology. She could have been any other department at the school. And back to the Crusader Club. I love it because as being in the Crusader Club, to me, it's saying, hey, look, I identify with the mission of William Carey University Athletics. You know, this is something that resonates with me. Anytime you get a chance to interact with some of our athletes, and Caleb and I are fortunate enough, Clayton and I are fortunate enough to do, and you as well on the podcast there on careyathletics.com, to be able to talk to these athletes and hear their stories and what Carey means to them, has meant to them, continues to mean for their families, whether just over the last weekend or week or so, talking to Natalie Bartholomew and hearing her story. Great interview we had her on the podcast. We're going to have Gabby Massera on as well.
Yeah.
Tremendous, tremendous story out of Brazil. Speaks fluent Portuguese, speaks really good English. Just hearing the story of her parents, and she's playing through injury.
Right. I believe she's got a shoulder injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and she's also battling through the groin.
Yeah.
So, and her dad, you know, was the story about saying that player, the word player in Portuguese, and she'll tell it when we have her on in a few weeks, way better. But it means to play and then through pain. And so her dad said, hey, you want to be a player? You got to play through pain.
Right.
So she doesn't think anything, you know, and then she's so joyful in the process. And I said, where does your joy come from? And to hear her talk about where her joy comes from in that. So again, rambling a little bit there to say, when you're a Crusader Club member, and for me as a Crusader Club member, man, I identify with the mission of William Carey Athletics. And I think it's something that has been a mission that resonates with fans of college sports for decades. I don't agree with the way that intercollegiate athletics are going on at all levels, and to the extent that that it's out of control. I 100% agree with William Carey University Athletics. And so therefore it's okay, then I want to be a part of that.
Right. And like you're saying, the good thing about Crusader Club is it directly affects athletes like Gabby. You know, this money is going to go to help them have the best gear that they can have, stay at the best hotels they can stay at. You know, we want to give them a first-class experience. And that's what we're doing here. And then there's some, you know, there's some other cool things in there, like a Hall of Fame dinner, Sports Hall of Fame dinner. You know, at certain levels, you get tickets to that. That's a great event every year, where you get to come back and mingle with, you know, players of the past. So it really, I think this gives people an opportunity to really connect.
As this grows, will it benefit scholarships as well for athletes?
That's something I haven't looked into, whether we could or couldn't do that, but I can't see why it wouldn't.
Yeah, where it could,
you know,
go
just
in the
off
future.
The cuff, I don't think there would be a problem doing that.
Sure, and it would provide more opportunities for people to get an education, which is huge.
Yeah. And speaking of that, you mentioned the Sports Hall of Fame banquet. That's something that's typically tied to homecoming, which has been traditionally in recent years in the spring. It's now being pushed to the fall, and that's actually coming up in just a few weeks. I think we're three weeks away.
Yeah. And you know what? Since we're on the topic of the Sports Hall of Fame, let's go ahead and launch who's going to be in there.
Ooh, an exclusive. Come on with it.
All right. First off, Deron Bell, men's basketball.
Okay.
Luis Trude, men's soccer. Craig Fletcher.
Yay.
Well deserved.
Craig Fletcher goes in for baseball and softball.
Yes, correct.
You know, for his talents on the baseball field as a player and an assistant coach there, and obviously all of his accolades through coaching softball through the years. And then there's Eric Adkins for baseball. And I guess the headliner, so to speak, would be DJ Pulley, former athletic director. SID golf coach.
I'm so excited to get to see him again.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. Well, congrats to those Hall of Fame inductees. And, hey, so that's 3 weeks from now, I think October 18th.
October the 18th at 6 o'clock.
It is going to be the Saturday of homecoming. Soccer play in Dalton State that day.
That's right.
A lot going on that weekend. Stay tuned to all the different social media platforms. Just kind of mark that in your calendar if you're a Crusader fan for all the events coming up centered around homecoming for the fall. You'll want to be a part of it. If nothing else, that Sports Hall of Fame banquet is going to be a huge deal, and I'm looking forward to that as well. You're going to have me back, right?
Absolutely.
I was about to say, don't tease me like that and then write me out.
You're our guy for the sports banquet.
Okay. Josh, you're welcome to come too. I mean, I'm not trying to rule you out.
I expect Josh to be there.
That's right. I should be there.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing all that the Crusader Club can grow and become as it continues on. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. He is Ben Smith. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about athletics throughout the week and also the news of the SSAC. Two new members are coming to the fold starting next year. We'll talk about that and more coming up.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Great conversation with Assistant Athletics Director Ben Smith, bringing us all the details of the Sports Hall of Fame, who's going to be inducted this year. If you missed it, catch it on demand. Great listings headlined by former Athletics Director and former golf coach DJ Pulley. So excited for him. He's doing great things on the coast, and he's going to be great to have back here in Hattiesburg for that event. I'm excited to get to see my old friend, the one that gave me my break. Here, William Carey, DJ.
Man.
He gave a lot of people their break at Carey.
He gave me my break.
That's it.
I sat before DJ Pulley, and, you know, bringing me in, and he was like, man, if you want to call some more games, we'll put you to work. He wasn't kidding. Y'all were serious.
Yes. We'll squeeze every bit out of you, just like a person who raises their hand for the first time to volunteer at church. They'll do stuff? All right, you're in charge of the potluck. You're going to help set out bulletins and stuff them and pick up communion cups at the end of service. We'll put you to work.
Or in my experience, they would get stuck on the AV team. That's how I recruited a lot of my people back in my church media days.
There you go.
Still a part of that myself.
Are you running camera?
I have run camera before.
Oh.
That's how I got my start back in Madison, was doing some camera work.
Yeah.
Before that, I'd done slides and other things for different churches from before I moved to Madison. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Talking everything William Carey Athletics, and the thing I was teasing before the break is that the Southern States Athletic Conference, which could be better named to the Georgia Plus Three Schools Conference, it's actually more than that, it's plus five, but nevertheless, is adding two more to the fold starting next athletic calendar year. We already had the news that Xavier from Louisiana is making their entrance into the conference starting next year. And now we have the news of two more. And they are two schools from the state of Georgia, one from Macon. The other is from, I just had the name of it right in front of my face and it has disappeared on me, like Cuthbert, Georgia, I believe is the town name. Nevertheless, Wesleyan College and Andrew College, two teams are going to be added. Wesleyan comes from the NCAA Division III. Meanwhile, Andrew comes from the JCAA. So junior college team making their entrance into the NAIA and the SSAC. So that is – and it is Cuthbert, Georgia. But that is what we have to look forward to as far as future SSAC and NAIA membership. As Carey is fresh off of adding – Abraham Baldwin, just over a season ago. Last year was the first year they actually competed in athletics. And now we're getting two more.
I just right off the top of my head. Just a thought, because I mean, today was so crazy for a Monday. These press releases slipped past me till I walked in tonight. What is the motivation for the NJCAAs to make the jump to NAIA or NCAA? Is it just simply the 2 more years to become a 4-year institution and then move the athletics there? Or is that something that you've heard some feedback on?
You know, I don't know Andrew College's. Yeah, I hope I have those right in my head. I'm pretty sure it's Andrew that's the correct. Junior college. I don't know which came first, chicken or the egg, if they are an institution that is looking to expand to 4 years. And so the logical step is to get out of NJCAA and join a 4-year athletics department. And perhaps the logical jump is to go to the NAIA first.
Sure.
Because, I mean, think about it. Either you jump into the NAIA or you go NCAA D2, because if you go D3, then you can't offer scholarships for athletes. So it would make sense, I think, as a stepping stone or as a permanent destination for a place like Andrew College to jump up there.
All I'm thinking about, though, is that from an athletic standpoint, it's jumping into the deep end of the pool. I mean, it is jumping in. So whereas at certain levels of intercollegiate athletics, some of those conferences have been kind of set in stone for a while, or at least the opportunities to maybe add a school or two. Xavier's going to step in and immediately, in many sports, be right there from a competitiveness standpoint. But you would certainly think there's going to be quite the curve for Andrew College and Wesleyan College, and they're going to get thrown in with some of the best programs in the country when you think of a Tennessee Southern, a Faulkner, a Mobile, a Loyola, a William Carey, in particular those schools you're talking about outside of the state of Georgia. It is going to be trial by fire, so to speak.
Yeah. And Cuthbert is fairly close to, say, Dothan, Alabama. It's kind of between Columbus, Georgia, and Dothan, one of those highways kind of near the border.
So kind of close to Point.
So somewhat close to Point, yeah. I was going to say, it is a very advantageous conference for Andrew College to join just from a regionality perspective.
Sure.
They're going to have way less travel than William Carey, Loyola, Xavier, all of us over here in the West, I should say. That said, you know, you add them, you add a team that's in Macon, Georgia, which kind of mimics where Middle Georgia State was over there in the Cochran area. So a lot of Middle Georgia area teams in the conference, as there was already a plethora of them to start with. But, you know, I'm not going to complain that the conference is majority Georgia, because that's the way it's been for the last, you know, 5 years now. Now, what I do have questions about is the strength of the conference. I feel like we have to have that open and honest question thrown out there. And this is not to be critical about leadership in the SSAC, but I do have to ask the question, what's the long game? You know, is it, you know, maintaining an adequate number of members for the sake of bids to the national tournaments? I feel like that has to be a huge thing. Obviously, more members means more income. But does your conference's strength of teams and adequate play start to become in question?
It's going to put a bigger focus, I think, and I don't know if challenge is the word. Maybe challenge is the word. Non-conference scheduling is going to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very critical. We see that in women's soccer. We see that in volleyball, where Rhonda's, let's start with volleyball, kind of reverse order. Rhonda's group, Coach Shirley's group, did a tremendous job in the way they represented the university and the level and the tenacity in which they played with. They're going to be back in those tournaments next year, and hopefully with a couple more pieces and basically everybody back. So that program is on a really vertical trajectory. For women's soccer, same thing, where they play the Kaisers, the Scads, and so forth, to make sure that when they're getting into, and there have been some absolute just blowouts of massive proportion, like this weekend, 23-0 over Blue Mountain, they've got to do their damage. They have to play the Georgia Gwinnett's in the midweek at 11 a.m. whenever they can get them, you know, on a Wednesday, for the strength of schedule. So it makes me think of the old SEC West 20, 25 years ago, when the SEC West was so much stronger than the SEC East. But here's the hope. The SEC East the rising tide raised all ships. Now you've got a lot of strength in the East, more so, and maybe not in all sports, but you think of a South Carolina in women's basketball, you look at a Tennessee in baseball, you look at some of these other sports. Your hope is that the strength of the West in the Southern States Athletic Conference is going to be a big draw in recruiting for those Georgia teams because of the type of league that those athletes will have a chance to come in and who they're going to be able to play against.
Yes, and I'm just going to be frank with you on here. I agree that that is the thought there. That is what you hope for.
But, I mean, like 10 times over, right? I mean, these are small schools.
Yes, they are. And this is a – let me break it down for you. Andrew College, let's look at – you know, I'm kind of in a soccer mindset right now.
Okay.
And all so right. I'm looking at a William Carey team that just defeated Blue Mountain 23-0 and Abraham Baldwin 25-0.
And Abraham Baldwin would be the comparative.
Right. Where Abraham Baldwin struggles in women's soccer – they surprised everyone with their strength in baseball this past year.
And men's basketball.
And men's basketball, yeah. Made a couple splashes there. You look at Andrew, the Fighting Tigers coming in. They're in NJCAA right now. They have not scored a goal yet in soccer this year. Women's soccer, that is. They have been outscored 50-0 in total so far in this season. And that is through 8 matches.
Ooh.
Yeah, so 50 divided by 8, you get a little picture of how lopsided these matches are.
So what you're saying is there's 3 or 4 teams in the Southern States Athletic Conference alone that could have to make effort to not break the national scoring record in a game, potentially. When Xavier comes in, Xavier, Tennessee Southern, William Carey, Life, yeah. There's so many that are at another level when it comes to women's soccer.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to look at basketball, Wesleyan, who was D3 last year, went 0-23.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Let's look quickly at soccer. So far this year, they're 1-8. Last year, if it'll pull up, they went 0-10. So it's going to take some time for these groups to kind of come into that fold and build up. Right now, I haven't found the right sport that shows me that bright, shining star of, you know, what's going to benefit the conference long term. But we'll see. We won't count the chickens before they hatch. But at least there are multiple teams in the conference, and that helps out the long-term goal of keeping teams getting automatic bids into the national qualifiers of their respective sports. We'll continue on. We'll talk about this, but also got to recap that awesome slate of soccer and volleyball from this previous week. That and more coming up as we continue on Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, I know I spent a little bit of time just kind of ragging right there, and I hope you'll all forgive me, but I just have several things I'm waiting to see come next athletic calendar year.
It is going to be a steep uphill climb, but one thing we did note is that very difficult in 2025 with no scholarships at the Division III level.
Oh, yeah.
And the cost of higher education, the skyrocketing costs. Right, what does Carey do? Makes college affordable. So you couple the situation with small private school, the tuition costs, no athletic scholarships, that would be pretty tough to recruit to.
Right.
So this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, a step in the right direction is a good way to phrase it. I do want to – I have to mention what's part of this SSAC release. This is a quote from Commissioner Hall, and it said, I am thrilled to welcome Wesleyan College as the newest member of the NAIA and the SSAC. Wesleyan is a perfect fit, is a perfect geographic and competitive fit for our league.
Did somebody just copy-paste, potentially?
I wonder. And I'll say this. I do know that in the world of article writing for sports teams – there's often a liberty the coaches give their SIDs or whoever to just create a quote that would make sense for them in the given situation. Just say, hey, I mentioned something about this, this, this.
Okay,
this, and then the quote is created.
This is tongue-in-cheek. Was ChatGPT involved?
It could be.
ChatGPT take the grand sum total of every press release by Commissioner Hall in the last we've gone too far. But again, that was either a quote taken out of context or there are other reasons why. In particular, the geographic location, because you're pulling some records there, and the records are somewhere in probably single digit wins and 100 and something losses over some of their sports.
So I'm going to give you this is going to be brutal. And I don't have the time to tally it all up. This is the first year they've done beach volleyball, so I'm not going to count that against them. But here are all the recent athletic year results. 2024-25 women's basketball, 0-23. We're talking about Wesleyan, by the way. The team that is, by Commissioner Hall's quote in the article, a perfect geographic and competitive fit for our league. So 0-23 women's basketball. The only women's sports, by the way.
Yes.
0-10 2024 soccer. 1-31 in softball. And 2-22 in volleyball. 3 wins out of all athletic teams last year.
Mm. They can only go up.
That's right. The future is bright.
Yep. Improvement is on the horizon.
Yeah. So, again, if for the sake of Wesley, and I hope this gets clipped and then they play it back whenever they become national champions and something, that would be great for them. I'm just kind of laughing at the way that it was presented.
Look, somebody, yeah, and look.
Somebody had to research a fact check.
Well, look, yeah, and let's – so this – again, what we've just said is probably going to be taken out of context. Not to take it out of context. It is a great opportunity. And the fact that they're going to be able to give scholarships, that they're going to be in the NAIA, that they're going to be in a competitive league, they are going to make massive improvement. And I wish them all the best. ABAC has shown the type of improvement and is showing the type of improvement that we're hoping that they're going to make. And so please take everything that we're saying in the proper context. And then also to Commissioner Hall, we love you. I don't know if you really made that quote. I'm saying he didn't make that quote. I'm saying that
I want to believe that
he didn't get a chance. He would have more tactfully done that, because I don't think that if a Wesley fan today read that, they went, really? Did you really say that? We know that's why we're joining the league, because we want to make improvements. We're not competitive yet, but we want to be. And that's what we want for them to be. Right. That's what I want to say, that they're not where they want to be, and this is a step to get to where they want to be. Now, are they going to add men's sports? Are they anticipating major growth in that area, in that school? Is there some more context there, perhaps?
We'll have to do more research. I'm going to try to figure that one out. I don't know of any right offhand.
We would not have gone this far down this trail had it not just been so eye-popping, the numbers.
Yeah.
So
we will see.
Real-time reaction.
Yeah, very much a real-time reaction. So as far as I know, it's still only women's as far as the athletic teams, and I'm not sure if the actual school attendance, if there's anything other than women. It does say a quote from their president, from Megan Blythe, that Wesleyan opened doors for women in 1836, and we're still opening them. And then she talked about the NAIA and SSAC membership and how it expands for their student athletes and, you know, the heart of Georgia. Doesn't mention anything else beyond the article saying that they sponsor 5 women's intercollegiate sports: basketball, volleyball, soccer, softball, and beach volleyball. And they're looking to add women's wrestling, women's flag football, and competitive cheer. Not all of which are SSAC sponsored sports, but they're at least looking to add them to their repertoire. Now, to transition this thought, and it's a terrible segue, William Carey, dominant week in sports, especially in soccer, I would say on women's side. A kind of a surprise, not that Carey won all their matches, the one against UT Southern and Blue Mountain Christian, this is a UT Southern match that has kind of been one of those really, you know, hard pressed, hard nosed, fight to the finish type of matches. And Kerry just rails Tennessee Southern 8-1. That is the most goals that UT Southern has given up, at least since 2004. That's as far back as their records will give us individual match results. The second most they've ever given up was 7-1 against William Carey just a couple years back.
What did Coach have to say about that? What did Danny have to say? Have they had some injuries? Did they have some players that didn't make the trip? Where's some context there? Are they still trying to figure out their rotation, so to speak? Because, you know, you get into that second half, and that game got out of control pretty quick. It was 4-1 at the break, and Tennessee Southern basically said, hey, they kind of conceded in the sense of they started subbing, and so Kerry also started subbing at that point as well. So very early on, so to speak, relatively speaking, in the match, it was over.
Yeah, Tennessee Southern does not have a match win this year. They have one win this year in which they gave up two goals. That was a 3-2 win over LSU Alexandria early in the year. Any other time that they've given up two or more goals against an opponent, they have lost. They've lost so far at that point to Kaiser and Scott Savannah, two teams that Kerry also played, same tournament over in Foley. And you know, those were their losses. But when William Kerry comes and faces them, they get two pretty quick ones, and then Tennessee Southern gets an answer, so it's 2-1. I think I'm going to get the order wrong probably if I don't look at the box score. Nevertheless, it was 3-1 approaching the end of the first half, and it looked like it was going to stay there. And out of nowhere, Natoya Atkinson, Jamaica native that's come off the bench and played a little bit for Kerry, great individual player, still kind of learning the Kerry team and the communication and all that.
Because she got here late.
Yes, exactly, because she got here late. Took her a while to get the eligibility stuff and all that worked out. But posts up in the far corner for a corner kick and just curls the heck out of it towards goal, glances off a Tennessee Southern player's head and into the goal. Initially, Clayton and I called it an own goal, but they eventually said, no, that was headed in anyway, and it was just, you know, not defended well. And so they gave Atkinson the full goal credit and not just an assist on an own goal, which I didn't know you could do. But evidently, you can stat something that way. You can give an assist on an own goal.
How about that?
But nevertheless, to go from, you know, you're just down two right before half, okay, to, well, now you're down three against a William Carey team that you know is not going to concede a second half of three goals and not score one themselves. Tennessee Southern, not to say they packed it in, but like you said, they started making those subs and just say, you know what? We know what the result of this match is going to be. We've got a whole rest of the season to play. Let's get people prepared. Let's get, you know, everything in order to try to make a good second-place finish possibly in the SSAC. And they played it safe, and Kerry scored more goals. That's just it. So I did not have an 8-1 win for Kerry on my bingo card, although I did have a win scheduled. And they back it up again whenever Blue Mountain comes into town. Talk about big victories. We mentioned Blue Mountain, a team that dissolved their program after their loss to Kerry last year, 17-1, and they had all of three substitutions available for this match. Initially, we thought it was only one. They were hiding two other players, I guess, during warm-ups that we didn't count. But 23-0, and they just started passing around for the final 20 minutes. Ben told me earlier when we were sitting around before recording tonight, and he said Danny went back and counted them up. He wanted to achieve 150 passes in just the time-to-waste portion of the match. Got to, I think, 161.
Wow.
So past the mark he wanted to get of burning time and just passing the ball around, but over 150 passes of not trying to score.
How do you call 161 passes? What was the topics of discussion that were going on between you and Clayton while that was happening? Obviously, you're not calling the passes.
So, glad you asked.
Where did you go with trivia? Where did you go here over the last minute of the season?
Didn't go into a ton of trivia, but we did have a lot of fun, you know, recapping the fun that we saw across the way. When you score 23 goals, people get creative of how to enjoy their fun. And as you know, at soccer, they'll play a goal-scoring song right after the ball goes in. And so as that kept happening time and again, there were two supporters, and we found out later they were Matty Davis's grandparents. They had their umbrellas, and all of a sudden on the downbeats of each downbeat of the measures of the song, they would flip their umbrella left, left, up, up, down, down, and all of a sudden they'd be synchronized, just dancing with their umbrellas, celebrating the goals. And it just looked so cool from across the way. And we walked over afterward and said, y'all got to teach everybody else this. You got to get the choreography down. This is going to become a thing. It's going to be the umbrella gang at the William Carey soccer matches. The rally crew's got to bring it out for the day games whenever it's opening round time. So you got to go back and watch some of that and see how it all turns out. By the way, we get to this, I guess, in a crammed fourth segment. Men's soccer also get a sweep, getting a tight win over Tennessee Southern and then getting a solid win over Blue Mountain Christian on Saturday. Probably break that down and give you a quick box score recap of those two before Josh gives you some volleyball updates as well. So we will cram all that in somehow, some way, in the final segment of Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Final segment with you on Crusader Talk. Wrapping up the week and looking ahead, big road trips for every program active right now, including archery. They're going down the road to Foley, Alabama. Have a little shoot-up match. I don't even know what you call them. Do you call them meets? I really need to get my vocab up on archery. I think it's an archery meet.
It is.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dalton.
I've got to go watch some Olympics when they're going to throw me poolside for some of these swimming matches coming up.
Soccer's on the road, Bruton Parker on Thursday. Then they go to Life, or excuse me, not Life. They go to Thomas on Saturday. Volleyball's at Tennessee Southern on Saturday. Men's swimming's at Life this weekend. Cross country's on the road in Louisville, Kentucky. Volleyball's at Blue Mountain the Friday before going to Tennessee Southern. So they're going up all the way up to Blue Mountain, then north a little bit more to Pulaski. All that said, riding a wave of momentum from last week on into this week. Men's soccer, mentioned a little bit, teasing it before the break. Terrific weekend, 2-1 win over Tennessee Southern. Blue Mountain win 4-1. A win over Blue Mountain, I should say 4-1. A big penalty kick goal for Joshua Salas in that Tennessee Southern game to give Carey the 2-0 lead in the 73rd minute or 74th minute, I should say. Got a little bit of an answer there on a Tennessee Southern goal in the 81st, but Carey's able to hold on. Kind of calamity there in the final moment of that game. Like 10 seconds left. Carey was supposed to get the ball thrown in right there at midfield. Tennessee Southern thought it was theirs. Just went ahead and played it. Referees didn't stop anything, and they looked like they're about to have a wide open path to the goal, and luckily Carey defended it. Nevertheless, Crusaders get that win. And then Saturday against Blue Mountain, Salas gets the scoring started in the 11th minute, and then not even a minute later, Pedro Santiago punches one through to give Carey a 2-0 lead and just 12 minutes into the match. And that really was the tone setter moving forward. Blue Mountain got a penalty kick goal. It was one that we thought live was maybe not a great call, but after looking at the film, it was the right move. Elias Salominen tried to go for the ball, ended up missing, and offensive player got there first. So that is what led to Blue Mountain's only goal of the match, as Carey got a pad to their lead with a Santiago Molina goal in the 35th minute, and then he put it away with a 71st minute goal to give him two on the afternoon. By the way, in that women's match, just kind of thinking back because I'm thinking about Blue Mountain, 4 hat tricks for the ladies.
Just 4.
Just 4. I think it was 4. I know you could probably guess who had the first one.
Virginia Mesa?
No.
Well, Karen Vallow.
Karen Vallow had the first one. Yeah. Virginia had the second one. And then the order is getting hazy for me. And then Natoya Atkinson had one. And I believe Leslie Vasquez had the fourth.
That's why I had to provide the context in the last segment. Atkinson is playing catch up really quick.
Yeah.
She might be that piece that is needed to push this team over the top this year.
All right, quickly, volleyball. Tell me about it.
Really good. Welcome back, Sophia Bettini.
Yes.
Bettini was back. She looked the part. Going back to the Loyola match, Carey found a way to sweep Loyola in tiebreaker fashion in the third set, 27-25. Bettini was really, really good. Also really, really good at times was Natalie Bartholomew. Tweaked her foot a little bit, just kind of sprained it a little bit. Could have wrapped it and played against Louisiana Christian, but Louisiana Christian was really outmatched against Loyola and against William Carey.
Okay.
So William Carey was able to sit Bartholomew, play basically everyone in that second match and get the second sweep as well. A lot of players are really, really good, but in particular the player that stood out in that second match was Alicia Porti. Porti was really, really good. So you look at these pin hitters, you look at these outside hitters in Bartholomew, Bettini, Porti, Haygaard. There are weapons. Mitchell, Zoe Mitchell. Here's an addition. Sammy Wilson.
Okay.
Sammy was beach volleyball assistant coach. Sammy gets her first action on the hardwood for William Carey volleyball. And I asked her, you know, how much fun that was. She enjoyed it. They need her. They need some depth there. They've had some injuries there at that libero position and some of those defenders and back row players. So it's good to see Wilson there. This team's won four in a row. They're now 11-8. They're 5-1 in the league, tied atop the league standings. And they're really putting it together. They're starting to put better swings. They're starting to move more fluidly in their offense. They're communicating a little better, despite the fact they had a couple of breakdowns when they were in two setters. Literally almost blew that third set to Loyola. Two balls, four players staring at each other on back-to-back points. Coach called timeout, regrouped the team. They overcame and won the set and won the match. So that tells you the grit and the character of those ladies.
I heard that Carey won the Loyola match on a net violation. Is that true?
They did, and it was actually a net violation.
Okay. What's good is the right call. You always love winning, though, on a big kill or something like that.
Loyola did not like it, though.
Yeah. That was a kind of a comeback for Carey in that set as well.
They were up. Loyola came back. It was back and forth. I believe there were about 25 ties and about 10 lead changes over the last two sets. Carey dominated the first set.
Yeah. Well, good week for William Carey. Hopefully have another good week in front of them as they'll be on the road, all teams, everywhere, traveling this week. Wish them all the best and safe travels throughout this week. For Dalton Stanford and Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. That's another episode in the books. Good night. God bless. And go Saders.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.